Hello, everyone. Welcome to JTalk Extra Time. My name is Stuart Smith. It's been a while since you've probably heard my voice. My apologies for that, and my thanks going to John Steele for holding down the fort while I had to deal with some wisdom tooth fun and games. Like I said, thanks to John for taking over the J2 and J3 duties. I'm back here with a roundup of what's gone on this past midweek in J2. And before we get on to the football, there are a couple of coaching notes that I think probably need to be broached. On the last podcast, John Steele mentioned that there were media rumours that Omiya Adija manager Takuya Takagi was to be either cut loose, fired, leave Omiya, however you want to put it. Those rumours have intensified this week, and their result midweek won't have done anything to help him and his cause. I think it's been, if not an open secret, then open knowledge that this season simply hasn't been good enough for Omiya, despite their lengthy injury list. It looks increasingly like Takagi will be looking for work elsewhere next year. One destination where he won't be going seems to be Kyoto Sanga. They've been heavily linked with ex-Shonan Bellmare manager Cho Ki-jae, who's been out of the game since his, shall we say, being placed on leave by Shonan in the wake of some power harassment or bullying allegations. Sanayoshi, the current Kyoto manager, his team have done well in big games, as we'll hear about a little bit later, but they really haven't shown the consistency that the players and the squad should be showing. And I'm not surprised that Kyoto are looking at replacing him after just 1 year in charge. And it's no surprise either to me that someone like Cho Ki-jae, a strict kind of authoritarian, someone with a very, very detail-oriented plan of how he wants to play, and someone who has experience of getting out of J2, has been tapped by Kyoto Sanga. So a couple of managerial moves that have yet to be official, as far as I know, or yet to be made official, as far as I know, but two that are looking very much on the horizon. That being said, let's move on to the action on the pitch. And for Tokushima Vortis, it is so close that they can actually taste J1. They won 4-1 at home on Wednesday against Giravans Kitakyushu to put them 10 points clear of third place Nagasaki with 4 games to play. They will secure promotion if they win at Mito Hollyhock at the weekend. It was another dominant performance from Ricardo Rodriguez's side. They took the lead earlier on. The very impressive recently Takeru Kishimoto scored after only 6 minutes. He volleyed in from a corner after some distinctly average marking from Giravans at the back. Masaki Watai doubled Giravans's doubled Tokushima's advantage just on the hour. After he finished really nicely after a very nice through ball. Kunitomo Suzuki brought a goal back for Kitakyushu with about 20 minutes to go, but late goals from Yuki Kakita, I think that's his 16th of a highly productive season, and Akira Hamashita, I think that might be his first goal of the year since coming in from Tochigi, put the gloss on a 4-1 win. And like I said, Tokushima are almost there. They've been the best team in the league this year, and it's not even up for discussion really, and it's only hopefully a matter of time before they are crowned. I don't know if they'll be crowned champions, but they are securing promotion to J1, which would be a very sweet feeling for manager Ricardo Rodriguez, given that they fell at the final hurdle last year. Behind Tokushima, it's an all-out battle between Avispa Fukuoka and Vivara Nagasaki. Now, it's Fukuoka who are in the driver's seat now. They're 4 points clear of Nagasaki, but that's despite being held to a 1-1 draw at Fagiano Okayama on Wednesday night. It was 0-0 at half time, but Avispa did take the lead midway through the second half. It was a really, really good goal. A really, really good team goal. It involved some kind of one-touch football from Yuya Yamagishi and Juanma, and it was finished by Takuya Shigehiro, who placed it past William Pop in the Fagiano goal. It was a really, really good goal. Slightly out of context for Avispa. Usually they don't score those kind of goals, but it was some really intricate play from Avispa to take the lead. But they were pegged back very soon after. Lee Yong-jae equalising for Okayama. Only his sixth goal this year. That's quite surprising. He should be scoring at least double that given his propensity for getting into goal scoring situations. Fukuoka or Okayama couldn't find a winner, and so that left Avispa waiting on the result of Nagasaki's trip to Kyoto. And they would have been very, very pleased with what they heard from Kyocera Stadium, because Kyoto Sanga won 2-1 against Nagasaki to really dent Nagasaki's promotion hopes, I think. Itaka Soneda scored after 25 minutes. His shot was deflected in off a Nagasaki defender. If you watch the DAZN commentary, one of the commentators said it was a great shot. It wasn't, and it wasn't going to trouble Tokushige in the Nagasaki goal, but it got a very big deflection on its way in. A mistake or a kind of misplaced pass led to KS Sento streaking clear to score Kyoto's second in the 35th minute. Nagasaki thought they might have had a shout for a penalty after someone was brought down. I can't remember who it was actually. Brought down by Keisuke Shimizu, the Kyoto goalkeeper. I think it would have been harsh. I think the ball was well out of play. There may have been contact, but DAZN's replays are next to useless. We couldn't really see anything from the angle that they gave us. Substitute Luan came on, and within 5 minutes, he'd scored. He'd pulled one back for Nagasaki, cashing in on a mistake by Keisuke Shimizu. You can see Jordy Boyce is very, very unhappy with his goalkeeper for letting the cross/shot run through his hands and into the path of Luan. Nagasaki threw everything forward. Luan almost equalised in injury time, but he headed just over from across from the right. But that's a kind of, it's not terminal damage, but in Nagasaki's position, you need to take advantage when the teams above you slip up, and they failed to do that. For Kyoto, I think it's a case of what might have been. They've beaten Fukuoka, Nagasaki, and Tokushima at home this year, showing that they are capable of hanging with the big boys in J2, but the just startling lack of consistency. They're 25 points behind Tokushima Vortis, and that is, it's just simply not good enough. Although Tokushima have been very good, Kyoto should be much closer to the top of the table than they are at the moment, and I'm not surprised that Sanayoshi might pay the price for that. So, as we look at the top of the table, like I said before, Tokushima Vortis are on 80 points, Avispa Fukuoka on 74, Vivar and Nagasaki are on 70. There are four games to go, meaning Tokushima just need a win from their remaining four games to guarantee promotion, and I think two wins will guarantee the championship, given that their goal difference is so much better than Avispa Fukuoka's. If we take a look at briefly some of the other results in the league, Montelia Yamagata scored twice in additional time to record a 3-2 win against Machida Zelvia. Those two goals coming from Ryoma Watanabe and Taiki Kato in the 94th minute. A very bitter defeat for Machida to swallow there. There was complete tomfoolery at the Knack 5, where Omir Adija went 3-0 up in the first 25 minutes. Masahito Ono, Shintaro Shimada, Masayuki Yamada put them 3-0 up and seemingly in control. But this is Ehime we're talking about. This is a team that were 3-0 down against Tokushima Vortis and went on to beat them 4-3. And they scored 3 goals in 5 second half minutes to bring things level. Kyoji Kitsuna scored, Koki Arita scored from close range, and Takumu Kawamura profiting from a volley which hit the post and rebounded straight to him. It's those kind of results that are unforgivable, basically, for a team of Omiya's standing. And yeah, you can praise Ehime all you want, but that's just a result that shouldn't happen for Omiya. And it's basically the story of their season, underperforming and just not getting the job done. Mito Hollyhock beat Jubilo Iwata 2-1 at K's Denki. The magnificently named Halef Pitbull scored a penalty, only for Kotaro Omori to equalise with a header in the first half. Late drama here, Ryo Toyama scored the winner with 10 minutes to go. And Mito once again having a very, very good season for them. Elsewhere, Tsuegen Kanazawa won 2-0 against FC Ryukyu. Keita Fujimori, the midfielder, and Raisei Shimazu, someone who's flying a little bit under the radar this year with the emergence of Matsuki Kato, but Shimizu has been playing really well, and I think that was his 7th or 8th goal of the season. This was basically a battle for 16th, 17th and 18th, so probably not that much riding on it, so to speak. Elsewhere, what have we got? Tokyo Verdy 1, Chiba 1, the very impressive Joel Fujita added to his burgeoning resume by putting Tokyo Verdy 1-0 up. And Kleber scored the equaliser here, although it might have been credited as an own goal in some places. I'm not too sure about that one. Other games included Albrecht's Niigata salvaging a late draw at home to Tochigi. Silvino scored in the 90th minute to make it 2-2. Zaspa Kusatsu Gunma beat Matsumoto Yamaga in what looked like a cold night at the Shota Shoyu Stadium. Ex-Matsumoto Yamaga player Yuzo Iwakami with a late goal. There were a lot of late goals this weekend, this midweek actually. Not surprised, J2 players must be absolutely shattered with this ridiculous schedule that they're being forced to play. But yeah, he scored the winner in the 89th minute to give Gunma the win. And finally, Ranfa Yamaguchi stay rooted to the bottom of the table after they were beaten 2-0 at home by Van Forikofu, who remain in fourth place. Shohei Takeda and Riku Nakayama scored second half goals to give Kofu a very comfortable win on the night. So, as we look forward to the weekend, let's look at some of the important fixtures that we've got. And like I said, Tokushima will secure promotion to J1 if they beat Mito Hollyhock away from home. They kick off on December 6th, which I think is Sunday this week. 5th, yeah, it is. And so all eyes will be on the K's Denki Stadium. Avispa Fukuoka look to have the easier draw in the battle of the other two teams vying for promotion. They face Tsuegen Kanazawa at home, while Viva and Nagasaki welcome Montedio Yamagata to the Transcosmos. So a lot riding on those two games, and objectively you'd think that Yamagata would present a bit of a stiffer challenge to Nagasaki than Kanazawa would to Fukuoka, but you're not quite sure with J2 these days, to be quite frank. Elsewhere, yeah, I don't know really where to look. Maybe Iwata versus Omiya for those of you with a pang of nostalgia for J1. Oh, there is a Kita Kanto derby between Tochigi and Gunma to look forward to as well. That should bring you up to date with what's been going on in J2. Hopefully, John and I we'll be back sometime together to talk about J3 and what's going on in that kind of senseless, chaotic promotion race in that league. But until then, I'd just like to put out my thanks to everyone who listens, everyone who gives feedback, the patrons who support us, and to John and Ben who've picked up my slack in the last couple of weeks or so. Big thanks to everyone who listens. Until next time, stay warm, stay safe, enjoy the football, and I'll speak to you next time. But goodbye for now.